Good morning. Let us turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 20. And we are looking at this final message that the Apostle Paul has with the elders of Ephesus. And here he's going to say a few things, a few words which we can describe as very courageous words. For that we have entitled this morning's message as Courage to Face the Future. Courage to face the future. Now we ask, what is the difference between courage and bravery? Sometimes we sort of see the two of them as one and the same. If you're brave, you're very courageous. If you're courageous, you're very brave. But there is actually a nuance, a difference of meaning between these two terms. We can see or understand bravery as perhaps more that natural trait. This sort of innate ability that some people have, and not all, some people have to be able to face dangerous, potentially risky situations, and they are able to do so without fear. And so they're very brave. They can, you know, you think of that soldier that is able to charge headlong into enemy fire. He doesn't feel any fear because he's very brave. And he's able to just do what is necessary. Now, a soldier in a given situation, you say one is very brave because he charges headlong. Another one that encounters that hail of bullets before him, and as he hears the gunfire, he's terrified. He's terrified. He's afraid of the dangers that are before him. He assesses the risks, and he knows that, well, there is a high chance of him getting shot. But that soldier also charges headlong into enemy fire. But he does know not because he is brave, but because he is courageous. Now, what's the difference? Well, we can understand courage more, perhaps, what is the ability to do that which is necessary and right, even in the face of fear and danger. And so courage, you can say it's something that we cultivate, something that we can grow in. That second soldier, the one that is not brave, the one that is terrified, will still also charge as his captain or his officer calls him to do so, because he knows that that is what is right. He knows that that is the task set before him. He sees there is a cause. And so therefore he does that. And so we think of people like Daniel, as we had sung in the hymn just now. There were dangers before him. But then he still continued to do so. Why? Because he knew that there was a cause. He knew that he must continue to obey the Lord no matter what. And even though that might mean that he'll be thrown into the lion's den, he had the courage to continue to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We think of men like David, who stood before Goliath. And of course, it is a terrifying prospect. That man that was bred for war, a giant, with a heavy spear and sword and shield, that suit of armor. And what was he? Just a little shepherd boy. But yet he took those 5 stones. And he said, is there not a cause? There is a cause. Because this man was coming and standing before the armies of the living God. He was spewing all sorts of insults. He was bringing shame to the name of God. And so he stood there and he said, is there not a cause? Why isn't anyone willing to take up arms against this man? And he had the courage to do that which was right. And that is what we see in the Apostle Paul here as well. I mean, all throughout the book of Acts, we have been seeing the courage of the Apostle Paul. We have been seeing this ability that he had. It was not something that was innate in him. In fact, there were times in which he said he was in trembling and in much fear. There were times in which he was ready to throw the towel, There was times in which he was much discouraged by what he was facing. There were many trials and difficulties that he had to go through in the course of serving the Lord. But yet after all the things that he had suffered, the many times in which he was dragged before the authorities, thrown into jail, beaten, whipped, stoned, he still pressed on. Why? And you know, bravery can only bring a man to a certain point. Because bravery can fail, and it will fail. But if we have the courage which comes from the Lord, a courage from which stems from a conviction in his heart, now that is what will enable a man of faith to do courageous things, to do amazing things for the Lord. And that is what we see Paul exemplifying here in Acts chapter 20. You see, he faced a most uncertain future. That's what he told them, right? He says, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He says, I don't know exactly what is going to happen. But yet he knew that it was the Lord's will for him to go to Jerusalem, and that is en route eventually then to Rome. He knew that, you know, that is where the Lord wanted him to be, to return to Jerusalem and then to head over into Rome. But yet it was a most potentially risky endeavor. He knew that it is something that was wrought with danger. But he did not shrink back in fear. That did not discourage him. But instead, what he said were these very courageous words. He says, I don't know what is going to happen, but I know the Lord wants me to go to Jerusalem, and therefore I'm going. But yet everywhere he goes, he says, in every city that he is coming, that he goes to, bonds and afflictions abide me. He says, you know, people have been warning him, and perhaps he sensed from the Holy Spirit himself, or perhaps the Holy Spirit revealed to him, that, you know, as he returns to Jerusalem, he will be arrested. He will be in bonds, or bonds meaning in chains. He will be arrested and imprisoned. And what awaits him are afflictions, difficulties. But he says, none of these things move me. He says, you see, these are things which will not shift me from my course. I am set. I know where I'm headed, and I will definitely go. That is courage. He says, these things don't move me. Not even the prospect of losing my life, right? Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Even that does not bother me. But all I want to do is to finish the course with joy. That course, that path that God has set for him, he says, that is what he wants to do, and that's what he knows he needs to do. And that is courage. That is what courage looks like. You see, when we think of the future, when we think of what is ahead of us, it is a terrifying prospect. There are many things that are uncertain about the future. Just as what Paul says, right? Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. We don't know. We really don't know what is on the morrow. We don't even know what is going to happen later on. Yeah, we will make plans. Yeah, we have expectations. We generally expect that, well, after this, the rest of this day, there will be no major mishaps. There are no major calamities that await us. We check the weather forecast, and it seems that today is going to be a nice day, right? And so we have the plan, right? We'll spend perhaps the rest of the afternoon in church. After this, we're going to have Bible study, and then we're going to have lunch. And after that, maybe the young people will continue with another session for the YPG. And after that, we're going to head home and we're going to have dinner. We're going to have an early night because, well, tomorrow's Monday and the start of, well, the work week or the school week ahead. We make all these plans. At the same time, we know that there are many things about the future that is not certain. And if anything, that has been perhaps what we have learned in the past 3 years, isn't it? I'm sure everyone, every single one of us were taken by surprise in this whole pandemic that we have been facing. You've never, in our wildest dreams or in our greatest expectation, expected that, you know, suddenly life would change so dramatically. I'm sure you all know, lockdowns, restrictions, things that we have never expected to happen, happened. And just as everything was sort of, you know, tapering down and as things were starting to get back to normal, there was a war. And that war also then caused all sorts of things to happen. Perhaps in this way, it hit our pockets. With rising fuel prices, electricity. And then all the fall-on effects from everything that has happened in the past few years. And then now the latest thing that, you know, New South Wales and much of the eastern part of Australia is facing is floods. Again, who would have expected these things to happen? But that is the uncertain future that we are facing. Uncertain, at least from our perspective. Of course, God knows all things. God has ordained all things to come to pass from the beginning until now. But we don't know. And if we just look forward to the future and thinking of all the things that we cannot predict, it is a very, very terrifying prospect. We don't know what shall be on the morrow. And how can we plan? How can we anticipate every endeavor? Sometimes people lie awake at night thinking about these things, about their future. How are we going to pay off our bills? How are we going to provide for the family? We think, we toss and turn. We think of all the possibilities. And we think of the endless scenarios that may arise. And every day as we are bombarded in the news of bad news after another, we worry. We are overwhelmed with anxieties. And then there are all our own personal struggles that we have to contend with. Our job securities, perhaps. Our family situations. Whatever it is. Like Paul, we also say, we do not know the things that shall befall me. And really, there's no way of knowing. No amount of thought, right? No amount of anticipation can ever confidently or safely predict for us what the future will hold. So as we think about the future, our courage failed. Whatever bravery that we have within ourselves can sometimes waver and weaken. And instead of having the courage to face whatever the future holds, we shrink back in fear. And we have heard of how, you know, the past 3 years, there have been such an increase in mental health issues, struggles. Why? Because of all these uncertainties. Because of all these struggles and anxieties that people face. And they look and consider the prospect of an uncertain future, of all the uncertainties that lie ahead of us, it can get to us. And it's a very real problem. It's a very real problem. But you see, although Paul faced this uncertain future, he says, I don't know the things that shall befall me there. But yet what we'll see, as we'll see later on, is that he didn't allow these things to trouble him. He didn't allow these things to trouble him. Why? Well, because of the conviction that he had. But you know, what he faced was more than just an uncertain future. But, you know, verse 23 also warned him that there were afflictions and bonds that abide me. What does that mean? As I mentioned earlier, there was a very real prospect of physical danger that awaited him. You know, as if it's not bad enough that he didn't know exactly what was to happen, but what he did know is that that uncertainty was most certainly a dangerous uncertainty. So what it means is that, you know, he didn't know exactly how things would pan out. He didn't know when he was going to be arrested or how he was going to be arrested. He didn't know, you know, what sort of difficulties that he's going to face, but he knew it was going to be difficult. And, you know, that combination, you know, is, you know, sort of perhaps even worse than not knowing. In a sense where he knew something And that something was that is going to be bad. That's all. And when we anticipate such a future, there can be that sort of doom that will hang over us, knowing that in front of me is just bad. It's going to be painful. It's going to be hard. And that was the prospect that Paul was facing. We see one such example as we turn ahead to chapter 21. Right. So what he said was that in the Holy Ghost is witnessing in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So prior to here, we don't see any record of that. But it seems that that is something that he was beginning to hear about. Whether it was directly, right, in the sense where the Holy Spirit himself was revealing these things to him, or whether it was from the mouth of other people. So in Acts chapter 21, we'll see an example of how there was a prophecy given to him that bonds and afflictions awaited him. And that's in Acts chapter 21, and that's in verse 11. Acts chapter 21, in verse 11, he was in a house of a certain prophet named Agabus. Well, exactly who he is, we don't really know much about him, but the Bible does say that he was a prophet. You can say that the Holy Spirit will grant him certain special revelations concerning the future, which was something that was happening in those days. And so when he was there at the house of Agabus, he came and he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, saying, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Right. So here the Lord gave him a little bit more of a specific revelation, telling him that, "No, you are the one that owns this girdle," right? What's the girdle? Sort of like a belt, right? The thing that they wear around their waist. And so this man took Paul's belt, and then he tied up his own hands. And then he says, "Well, this is the message from the Lord. The one who owns this girdle, if he returns to Jerusalem, he will be bound up by the Jews. And then after that, the Jews are going to deliver him to the Gentiles." Now, who will be the Gentiles? It will be the Roman authorities. That's exactly what we will see in the coming verses. He returns to Jerusalem, he goes to the temple, he begins to speak for the Lord, and the Jews will arrest him. He will be brought before the Sanhedrin council, and then after that, sent off to the Roman governors. He's going to stand before Felix, Festus, and eventually he appeals to Rome, and then he appeals to Caesar, and he's sent all the way to Rome. That is what lay ahead of him. But it will be difficult. It will not be the first time, of course, that Paul would be in prison. And every time, it was not easy, I'm sure. He knew what awaited him. That's what he had. And we read on in verse 12. And when we heard these things, and this is Luke writing. And so the companions of the Apostle Paul, those that were traveling together with him, they said, "You know, when we heard about these things, both we and they of that place besought him, pleaded with him, begged him not to go to Jerusalem." I mean, that's the natural response, right? "Paul, we care so much about you. And now you hear the prophecy that if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested. Paul, we don't want that to happen to you." What did Paul say? And Paul answered, "What do you mean? What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart?" He says, "Why are you trying to sway me from my convictions?" He says, "Yes, you're trying to weaken my courage." He says, "Please don't do that. I know that that is where the Lord wants me to go, and that is where I must go." And then he goes on to say, he says, "I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." That's what we see him saying here, here in Acts chapter 20 also, in the passage that we are studying. You know, the prospect of affliction that lay ahead, of bonds, it did not sway him. It did not sway him at all. And the third thing that he was facing is not just the uncertainty, not just the affliction, but potential death. Right? Because that's the logical consequence. The Jews hated him. You see, up to this point of time, you know, Paul had been growing in his reputation. From the time that he was first saved on the road to Damascus, initially it was the other way around, right? The Christians didn't believe him. They thought that he was a spy, that he was going to come and infiltrate them and find out all about them and then send them off to prison. That's how Paul used to be, right? He used to persecute Christians, but then he was saved on the road to Damascus, and his life turned around. And then he gave up that past of being a Pharisee, of being that rising star amongst the Sanhedrin, amongst the Pharisees, and now he became a Christian. And then he started on his missionary journeys as he traveled, firstly throughout Asia and then across to Europe, preaching the gospel. Now he was growing in his reputation as, this Christian pastor, the evangelist, the one that planted so many churches. And as he grew in that reputation, of course, it grew also was the hatred of the Jews against him. And he encountered that so many times in the past throughout all the cities that he had visited, invariably. Right, after preaching for a while, the Jews would rise up against him and wanted to kick him out. And so, you know, that reputation of Paul, you know, that animosity against him was growing and growing. The Jews by this time were extremely, extremely angry at Paul. Because every city that he went to, he entered into their synagogues and then began to tell them about Jesus, telling them that Jesus has risen from the dead and you must believe in Jesus. The Jews didn't like that. At least the Jews that were not saved. And so, you know, Paul sensed that. He knew that, you know, that anger against him was reaching a breaking point. And it's very likely, and it was actually going to happen if he did not get sent to the Roman authorities. If he was not, well, himself a Roman citizen, the Jews probably would have killed him a long time ago. So he knew that there was a very real threat. There was a real danger. Nonetheless, he said, I don't even count my life dear unto myself. See, that was the things that he was facing. The risks that were involved. It would have crippled any lesser man or any man that did not have the courage. I say again, it was not his bravery that enabled him to serve the Lord so effectively. It was the courage that he had because of his convictions in the Lord. And so he knew. He knew that, you know, that prospect of death awaited him. And, you know, death is, of course, something that we are all, to a degree or another, something that we do not want. It is not a prospect that we relish. It is something that, well, many of us, I'm sure, we dread. And we are fearful. And we will try everything within our means to avoid that. That we will not want to put ourselves in a risky situation that may potentially be the cause of our death. And for the most part, I mean, that is the logical, that is the responsible thing to do. We don't do anything that is dangerous or risky that will put us in potential harm's way. And we want that of our loved ones as well, of our children. We make sure that we try to protect them, and we make sure that they do not engage in any dangerous activity that will cause them harm or even death. Of course not. But you see, what Paul was facing was not a reckless charge into danger for no cause at all. Now, he knew what the Lord wanted of him. He knew that he was there to serve the Lord, to preach the gospel. And if so be, as a result of that, he will have to face these dangers. Well, he was willing to say, so be it. So be it. These were the things that Paul was facing. But you see, he took heed to the word, to the encouragements, the exhortations of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember on the Sermon on the Mount, what did the Lord teach us? He says, you know, when you have all these concerns and all these worries, right, all day-to-day problems, he says, you know, you think about what you shall wear, what you shall eat. You think of things about your livelihood, what I shall, how my next meal will be, and what the future holds. He says, now take no thought. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't worry. Don't be anxious over the future. For the morrow shall take thought of the things itself. I mean, yeah, you know, the things of tomorrow, the things of the future will sort itself out. But, you know, what we have even unto today, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, there is enough things for us to fill our minds with and concern ourselves with, even in the things of the present. Why do you waste your time or waste your energy thinking about the uncertain future that you have no control over. Instead, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm sure that's something that Paul understood and something he took to heart. He shared openly that, yeah, these were the things that he was facing. But yet he knows that as long as the Lord is with him, there is no need to fear. In fact, you know, death in itself was also not something that he was concerned about. He knew that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after the judgment, it is something every one of us has to face, well, either sooner or later. And that has been our theme for the year as well, isn't it? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so to Paul, you know, even if death came sooner, well, there's nothing that he was worried about. In fact, that was something that he looked forward to. Not in a suicidal sort of way. It's not that he wanted to die, end it now. No, but he says, well, to die, what is that? It is gain. Why? Because that will be, and you know, when he dies, he knows that he will be with Christ, which is far better. He knew exactly where he was going. He knew, at least in terms of death, what the future held after his death. So to him, it was fine. If it is now that he has to, that his life ends here at the hands of the Jews or at the hands of the Gentiles, that's fine as well. And eventually that did happen. That did happen. Of course, it's not recorded for us in the Bible, but history tells us that eventually he will end up in Rome and he will be killed there. Exactly, we don't know. Potentially, some say he was crucified on the cross, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Others say he was thrown into the lions or with the gladiators in the Colosseums at Rome. Well, something happened to him that prematurely ended his life. But we know that Paul was ready for that. He knew that he was ready for that. Why? Because he had courage to face this uncertain future. That is what we'll see from verse 24 onwards. So that was the prospect that he was facing, right? He was facing this uncertainty. He was facing affliction, even potential death. And these are things that perhaps we think about as well. These are things that maybe keep us up at night. These are things that we worry about. But will we allow them to move us? That is the key. Will we face these uncertainties with fear? Or will we face that with courage? Verse 24 now gives us a picture of that courage, only from verse 22 onwards, but verse 24, he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You see, this is a picture of an unwavering commitment. Though he was faced with an uncertain future, he was able to meet that with an unwavering commitment. That's what we see in the Apostle Paul. You see, he knew that, well, the Lord's will for him was to go to Jerusalem. That's what you see in the first line of verse 22. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. What does that mean? It means that he knew that this was where the Spirit was leading him to. And so as a servant of the Lord, he was guided by the Holy Spirit. He was very submissive to the will of God in his life. And that's what all Christians need. Right? That's what serves or forms the foundation of our commitment. It is not what I want to do or where I want to go. The Christian is continually led by where is it that God wants me to go. That becomes our guide. Daily, that is what we ought to ask. Lord, what will you have me to do? Whether it is in terms of the day-to-day life that we live, the things that we do and occupy of our time, or whether it is certain more major life decisions that we have to make, the things that we do, maybe our career, maybe certain changes, maybe in terms of even where we live. And some of you may have faced such major decisions at crossroads in your life, and somehow the Lord guided you and led you here to move to a country, to move country and to, well, now end up as the sort of moving to a new country, not the place of your birth. And these are all the ways in which the Lord has guided us. But you see, when we know that we are in the will of God, when you know that we are living our lives not for ourselves, but for what God wants us to do, well, that forms the basis of our commitment. And when we have that, and even if we are faced with myriads of uncertainties and afflictions, difficulties, struggles, because we know that we are where the Lord wants us to be, that is what grants us the courage to face the future, isn't it? Many of you perhaps are met with rising costs. Rental prices, as we have heard, are going through the roof. Inflation is rampant. Runaway inflation is what they call it. Sometimes as you sit back and you start to do your bills and you begin to wonder, why did I even come to Sydney in the first place? Did I make a mistake? Should I be somewhere else? We are tempted to then worry and fear. And perhaps some of these are really very legitimate fears and concerns. We think, well, how can I ever make ends meet? Or, you know, why am I here? It seems I'm struggling more here than I was before. I thought I came here for a better life. But you see, what are our priorities? What are our concerns? What are we here for? And if we know that the Holy Spirit has brought us here, if we know that there are services for the Lord that we must render, well, then that grants us the courage to remain, grants us the courage to continue and to press on and not be overwhelmed with all these fears and uncertainties. We have courage to know that, well, I am exactly where the Lord wants me to be, and that is what I will press on and continue to do. Sometimes it is struggles with our health, perhaps our physical health. And we look back and you think, why? Why are all these things happening to me? Why me of all people? And maybe we start to look back at certain decisions that we have made in this life. And we think, oh, it's because this thing or that. If only this didn't happen, and then I wouldn't have to struggle with this. And sometimes we are again racked with all these things that bother our hearts and our minds. Again, what we need is that commitment, knowing that, well, whatever has befallen upon me, well, this is the will of God. He has allowed these afflictions to come. He has allowed these difficulties to come our way. That again grants us that courage to know, well, I am exactly where the Lord wants me to be, and there can be no better place. We have that conviction. So that's what Paul had. He had the conviction to know that, well, I am being guided by the Holy Spirit. I don't know exactly what is going to happen to me, but I am where the Lord wants me to be. And so that's what he was sharing with the Christians here at Ephesus. He says, you see, I only have a short time to be with you, because after this, I'm heading to Jerusalem, as nothing is going to waver me from that path. I know that is where the Lord wants me to go, and that is where I will be. Because you see, behind that was his purpose and his calling. And that's how he described it here. He says, you know, why do none of these things move me? Why am I not troubled by all the difficulties that I'm faced? Because my purpose is that I might finish my course with joy, the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus. You see, his purpose in his life was very clear. A lot of times why we don't have that courage, a lot of times why we are racked with fears and uncertainty, is because our purpose is not clear. Or perhaps not only that, is that our purpose is a self-centered one. And when we are only concerned about my life, my comforts, my desires, then yeah, you know, the future is uncertain and troubling. Because you're always wondering, well, what could have been or what can be? Am I losing opportunities here and there? Are there better prospects for me if I were to make different choices? See, if our priorities is all fixed on self, then yes, it's hard to find courage to face the future. Because, you know, especially when waves of bad news come one after another, and we see sort of our life or the plans of our life slipping through our fingers, we get very worried, we get very troubled and very concerned. What is our purpose? If our purpose is just simply my life on this earth, I want to establish a very comfortable life. I want all the luxuries that wealth can offer. I want a good life for me, for my children. Yeah, the future troubles us a lot because we think, well, how am I going to afford this? How am I going to afford that? How about my career? What lies ahead? And then when the economy gets worse, you hear of recession looming. You hear of job cuts taking place. You hear that your company is going through retrenchments exercises. It is a very terrifying thing, isn't it? You see, if our purpose is my life, my comforts, my wants, my needs, yeah, we will have no courage. But if our courage is clear in that our purpose in this life is not for myself, but my purpose is to serve the Lord, then you know that come what may, whatever may be the case, whatever it is that the future holds, it is in the hand of the Lord. And therefore, my concern is not so much about what the future holds and what I can do to mitigate all these changes that are happening. But my concern is simply that wherever I am and whatever happens to me, I can continue to serve the Lord. Then, you know, actually life becomes a lot more simple because your purpose is clear. You know what you are here for. You are here to preach the gospel. You are here to testify of the Lord, wherever you are, whoever you meet. And whether it is in this company that you have a job in, or whether you get retrenched, you lose your job, you get sacked. And now your mission field changes. It becomes a different group of people that you are in contact with regularly, a different group of people that you minister to. But no matter what happens then, you are still able to fulfill the purpose. The purpose that God has called you to. And you see, that was in the heart of Paul. He says, you see, none of these things move me. It doesn't matter what I face. It doesn't matter if I have to face imprisonment. It doesn't matter if I have to face afflictions. Because I know that no matter where the Lord sends me to, I can still do this. I can still be able to finish my course with joy. The course that the Lord has set for him. And of course, right, you know, to finish the course is simply to just follow his will. Wherever he leads, I'll go. He knows what his calling was, that he must testify of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he goes to preach the gospel. And that's exactly what will happen to the Apostle Paul. Because when he returns to Jerusalem, yes, he gets arrested, but he, you know, in turn gets granted numerous opportunities to finish his course with joy. Meaning to say he gets numerous opportunities to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. We'll see that, right, in the following chapters of the book of Acts. He will get a chance to preach before the Sanhedrin Council to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the people that make up the Jewish leadership. He will get opportunities to preach even to kings, to the governors, to Festus and Felix, almost convincing them to be Christians. He will have the opportunity to preach to those that were in the ship together with him, those that were shipwrecked together with him on the journey to Rome. And then finally, as he reaches Rome, and as he's thrown into prison there under house arrest, he will write to the Philippians and he say, you know, the things that have happened to me have fallen out unto the furtherance of the gospel. He says, now that I'm imprisoned here in Rome, again, it enables me to preach the gospel. You see, that was the heart of Paul. That was his purpose. That was his calling. And to him, as long as he's able to do that, it didn't matter where he was. Whether he was in a ship in the midst of the storm, literally, whether he was in jail, anywhere, didn't matter. He says, things that have happened to me, it all contributes to the furtherance of the gospel. And he says, for that, I rejoice greatly. And he was there under the imperial guard of Caesar. And then as he wrote to the Christians at Philippi, he was able to tell them, right? All them that are of Caesar's household greet thee, because they have become Christians. There were those in Caesar's household itself that had believed in the gospel, and now they were saved through his ministry. And so was it a bad thing that he ended up in jail in Rome? I mean, yes, it was difficult. I'm sure it's not a pleasant experience. But it enabled him to finish his course. It enabled him to fulfill the purpose and the calling which God has for him. That's all that mattered to him. Now, do we have that same conviction? Yes, we may not be ministers. We may not be evangelists. We may not be missionaries like the Apostle Paul. But that same great commission is given to every single one of us. What is our purpose here on earth? Why did God give us this life after we are saved? Why did he leave us here? It's for that same calling, that we can testify of the gospel of the grace of God in our own ways, wherever we are. And if so be that we can fulfill that purpose, then nothing else really matters as much, isn't it? Whether we are comfortably, successfully in our jobs, at our workplaces, whether it is that we are lying in an hospital bed on life support, weak, frail. But if in the midst of that, we can continue to testify the gospel of the grace of God, then, well, we are fulfilling our purpose, we are fulfilling our calling. And that grants us the courage to face the future. See, if our minds are just all filled and concerned about self and the things that I want, the things that I want, but yet I cannot have because of the uncertainties of the future, it's easy to get depressed. It's easy to be so troubled, worried, terrified. But when we think, when we have that conviction to know that my life is not for myself, my life is for the Lord's. He has saved me. He has given me this life so that I can have a life of service to him. Then wherever which way it is that the Lord will lead us, we can have that unwavering commitment that says, well, none of these things move me. None of these things trouble me. I don't even count my life dear unto myself. All I'm concerned about is to finish my course with joy. What is the course that is set? Well, he speaks of it like, as if it is a race that he's running. And he says he's not going to allow any of these troubles and obstacles to faze him. He is that runner set before him. Perhaps we can think of him not so much as, you know, a runner running a road race on a track where, you know, it's just going round and round and there are no obstacles that face him. Perhaps we think of him more like as a trail runner. He's running through the woods, through forests, numerous obstacles along the way, and numerous uncertainty things that will creep up on him. But then he says, none of these things move me. Whether it's an unexpected root that pops up, maybe causes him to roll his ankle, or whether it is a fellow, you know, some competitor that comes and pushes him, knocks him off course, he rolls down the hill. He says, none of these things move me because I just want to finish my course. I just want to run the race that God has set for me. And yes, I may get knocked down, I may fall, I might get pushed aside. But then I just come back to this cause. I just come back and continue to minister, to fulfill this service which I have received of the Lord Jesus. I just simply want to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And that was his calling. That was his conviction. You see that. And then things like he says, for example, in 1 Corinthians 9:16, he says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. He says, this is not something that, you know, I become proud about. No. But he says, actually, it is necessity which is laid upon me. Yet woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You see, such was the strength of his conviction. He said, I can do nothing else in this life than to preach the gospel. And if I am not given the chance to preach the gospel, then woe is me. You see, that was his chief concern. And we see that being played out in his life. Everywhere that he went, no matter how great the danger, no matter who it was that he was faced with, kings, governors, people, who seemed to have his life in their hands. He says, no, I just want to preach the gospel. I just want to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, woe is me if I don't have that chance to do so. That was his conviction. And at the end of his life, he was able to testify. At the very end of his life, 2 Timothy, and this will be after, he goes to Rome, after he goes through his whole imprisonment, he writes these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He was speaking about his impending death. He knew that things were happening whereby it seems very likely, and very likely his life will come to an end soon. And he says, I'm ready. My departure is at hand. Why? Because I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That means he has run that race. He has finished that course that God has set before him. He has done what he has needed to do. And now he knows his time is up. He's ready to be with the Lord, to be with the love, to be with the Lord that he loves. See, that was his courage. That was his courage, that he never allowed any of these things to faze him, to move him. But he just simply kept on going, kept on running the race before him. I'm sure we all want that sort of courage. We want that sort of conviction in our hearts. That faith to believe in the Lord, to know that no matter what it is that happens in his life, God has my best interests at heart. He loves me. He cares for me. And that nothing will be able to separate me from that love. That's the faith that the Apostle Paul had, and that's what granted him that conviction. Because he knew his calling. He knew what the will of God for his life was, and therefore he kept at that. How about for us? Do we know what it is that God wants of us? Do we know why God has placed us here in this life? And when we have that conviction, will we have the strength of faith to say that, if God be for us, who can be against us? I know that I am in the hand of God, and nothing can ever separate me from the love of God. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, isn't it? Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? These are things, all these things are things that Paul faced. He says, he learned that none of these things will separate him from the love of God. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nothing present, nothing to come, no powers can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Do we have that conviction? Because when we have that faith to know that, we know that our future is secure in the hands of God, and all we must concern ourselves about is how we can better live for him and serve him each day. And everything else, the Lord says, he will take care of. He knows what we are going through. He knows what we can take. He will not cause us to go through difficulties more than which we can endure. That is the assurance that we must have. And that's what grants us the courage to face the future. You see, we must know what our cause is, what our purpose is. As I mentioned earlier, if our cause is for self, and then it's very hard to find the courage. Maybe when things are going well, yeah, we can. But when things are not going well, we shrink back in fear. But if our commitment is to live for Christ, we know that the future, no matter how uncertain it may be, right, it will definitely and most certainly be a good one. Why? Not because our lives are comfortable and good, but because we are fulfilling the purpose and the calling that God has set for us. And so no matter what happens, we can continue to live for him. We can continue to serve him. And therefore, we will have the courage to meet what lies ahead, because we know that that is where the Lord wants us to be. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. The example of the Apostle Paul, that while he was met with great danger, and it was difficulties that lay ahead of him, Yet we see in him this wonderful example of courage. We pray that thou help us also to have that same courage. We will not be overwhelmed or overcome with our fears and our anxieties, but that we will know, Lord, that our lives are in thy hand. Help us to then take courage. Know that our concern is simply that we fulfill the purpose that thou hast set for us in this life, to live for thee each day and to testify for thee. So we pray that thou imbue us with this courage, strengthen us, especially in these dark and uncertain times. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.